Reality Rant.
There comes a time in every podcast life when people have to hang up the mic. This is not one of those times. This is one of those times when I have to pick up the microphone and make it very clear to Jerry Bruckheimer and company over at The Amazing Race that if you decided that a Fox Sports employee needed to be on The Amazing Race, you picked the wrong one! You picked the wrong one. Eric Pierce of Game Show News Net alongside Bill Hammond. This is your Reality Rant podcast, and we have a little cast to talk about. We have many casts to talk about. But for the moment, we're going to talk about The Amazing Race. Now, I don't know how closely our podcast audience stalks our lives. I'm sure they have tons of information about us and definitely tons of blackmail over the years. But most importantly, I have to sit back and wonder, do they know my job? Because I'm sitting around working at Fox Sports doing some lovely little updates on Fox Sports 1, America's new sports network. You should be watching it. For that matter, you can watch Fox Sports 2 as well. We have a bit of a battle going on, if you think about it. One of us works for Fox Sports 1, and the other one works for a network that, frankly, doesn't even deserve being mentioned on this podcast. So,
well, it'll be slightly germane later in this episode. So
the point
special preview
is
there.
You took Fox Sports Live talent, Ephraim Salaam, and decided to say, hey, we need more former rich NFL players on the show who don't understand the value of $1 million. So let's put them on. Aside from my personal biases to saying that they put the wrong Fox Sports employee on The Amazing Race, and trust me, with a roommate sitting behind me, I can guarantee you that there's at least one other Fox Sports employee who thinks that they made the wrong decision as well. What really needs to be done here is an expose saying, why is it that in order for stunt casting to work, they will put people on this show who don't necessarily get the true joy and love out of this the same way people who don't necessarily have this opportunity would? I mean, part of this is getting to travel around the world, but what happens if you actually had the faculties to do it yourself? You could go and travel. You could do it. Maybe you miss out on the competition aspect, but oh wait, you've gotten to compete at the highest level in one of the most elite leagues in the world already.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you haven't had the competition aspect, and it's not like you couldn't provide the travel aspect. What the hell are you doing on my show?
Yeah, and two more points that struck me as odd with this casting. Not just of this kind of fits both with Ephraim Salaam and his partner Chester Pitts.
Sure.
One, what is it with CBS casting Fox football analysts?
Yes.
I was like, this is right up there with Jimmy Johnson going on Survivor. Like, you're casting your competition. And the competition is under no obligation to cross-promote.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't understand why they would do that. And two, as our listeners know, I'm still on the East Coast, you're on the West Coast.
Yes.
I can just already see the promos that are going to air during Patriots games. Coming up tonight, watch former NFL players on The Amazing Race. The Amazing Race will be delayed 45 minutes because the NFL game ran late.
Oh, the painful truth. But let's just take a quick look through the profiles here, okay?
Yes.
Because this is what we always look at, the pairs, and see what's interesting. Haskote and Naina, I'm going to guess on those pronunciations, father and daughter, ER doctor, fitness instructor, i.e., hey, these are our well-to-do minorities.
Yep.
We've seen that couple numerous times.
Yep.
Jason and Amy, the boyfriend, girlfriend, owner of a snowplow company and a social media manager. So they might be our sweet couple. Who knows?
No, they'll be the at each other's throats couple.
Okay, they're the at each other's throats couple.
Because I'm sorry, Amy's job is as a social media manager, which means basically she gets paid to blast people on Twitter.
Okay, I'll go with that. Leo and Jamal. Entrepreneur and CEO, they're cousins. And most confusingly to me, Leo and Jamal strike me as like painfully black names, but that's not what we're dealing with here.
You mean there's a white guy named Jamal?
I'm not saying that. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't taken the time to dissect this picture. But you should be able to look at the picture and be like, there's Leo and Jamal. No, you can't do that. So maybe they'll be interesting. Let's put them on the maybe list.
Especially because the only in the group photo, the only pair that are both black are the football players, and they're wearing football jerseys. So.
Exactly. So we know it's not that. Tim and Danny, oil field operators.
Those
best friends.
I'm gonna guess those are the guys with the giant beards that look like Duck Dynasty castoffs.
I wonder what made you think that. Brandon and Adam, contractor and eco-friendly farmer, childhood friends. Sure. Oh, isn't that sweet? Allie and Ashley, L.A. Kings ice crew girls. Yeah.
Really?
Yes. We decided that we have to go past beauty pageants and cheerleaders to ice dancers.
It's like they're trying to have it both ways. Like they want the physical attractiveness of the country singers or the Vegas girls that they put on every season, but they also want the lack of teeth from the hockey winners last season. I don't know.
Let's see who else we got. Nicole and Travis, ER physicians that are married. Nikki and Kim, baseball wives. That's right. And
you want to talk about people? You want to talk about people who have no idea what the value of money is?
Timothy and Marie, fitness instructor and sports marketing, but exes running the race together.
That's actually an interesting dynamic for once.
I'm going to make an argument right now that they will not be at each other's throat. Yeah, they've already gotten that out of their system.
Exactly. They've always had the fighting couple, but they've never had the cordial exes. So.
And then Chester and Ephraim, sports analyst.
Rowan and Shane, did we cover them?
Former NFL teammates.
Did we cover Rowan and Shane real
quick?
Oh,
yes, the actors slash voiceover artists slash
producers. The queens of bingo.
Yes.
Because we just can't do a show without people who make Neil Patrick Harris think, God, that's gay. You know? We just can't do it, apparently.
We can't, but I mean, you've got your usual cast. The problem is, again, everyone feels like a stunt cast.
Pretty much, yeah.
Note to self, if I want to get on the show, I need to create myself as a stunt cast. I need to get a really weird story behind me, apparently.
Honestly, based on some of the stuff that you've put on Facebook over the last couple of years, the fact that you keep doing the LA races.
Yes.
It's like win like six of them in a row and use that as your selling point, honestly.
I should at some point, but you know, that takes some effort. And most of these people got on the show without any.
Yeah. Again, baseball. I still remember Anna Benson, okay? In fact, she's been in the news lately because she got arrested she got arrested for like attempted murder like last month. So. So, I was like, even then, like Nikki tries to redeem herself by saying that her occupation is baseball wife / training to be a Pilates instructor. I thought all you needed to be a Pilates instructor was know how to hump a giant inflatable rubber ball, but okay.
No. Yeah, I'm sure that's the base requirement. At least that's what you have to spend 700 hours practicing. But in all sincerity, I look at this cast. There's potential for some interesting pairs, but I need a lot of these people to prove their worth as to why they got this shot. And every time you see a stunt cast, you wonder, can they actually run this race? Is it really going to be as competitive as it should? Or is it going to be that comedy of errors with the one team that takes the taxi completely in the wrong direction, the other team that runs past the pit stop, and the last team that starts crying at the roadblock so bad that they can't even realize that the answer's right in front of them?
Yeah.
I don't want to see that. We want to see great locations, great challenges. Let's just cross our fingers and hope for the best. Yes?
Yeah.
Let's go to the other half of the casting page here. There's this show that comes on like twice a year, and this guy, Jeff Probst, likes torturing people at tribal council. Survivor!
Yes.
Survivor is coming back. There's something about blood and water and other stupid, stupid stuff going on. Yep. And most importantly, let's just jump to it right now, Kat and Hayden.
Yep.
Kat Adorson is coming back to Survivor, and she is dating Hayden Moss, former winner of Big Brother.
Yep.
So we finally get that crossover of having that Big Brother contestant compete on Survivor.
Yep.
Why?
And it somehow wasn't Jace.
Amazingly not. He actually, I thought, would have been good back when.
Yeah. I mean, as far as the Survivor cast, we were 90% correct on the returnees. We got one wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed the rumor mill that it was going to be RC, and it wasn't. Instead, it's Candace yet again.
Yay.
And her now husband, John. Now, my question is this. Is Candace manipulating some Woodcock to get on the show again? Because she had two seasons of doing jack shit, and she gets another shot.
Am I supposed to give you a better one? I mean, could we have an excuse to put Corinne back on? I'd take that.
I mean, again, the returnees. Tyson, okay, he's good for some laughs. Aris, why? You were the winner of the worst of the most disappointing finale given a Final Four in Survivor history. Mm-hmm. Rupert, I'm glad Rupert's back just because I love his character, even though it's universally agreed he's a terrible game player. He's a terrible player in this game. But he's got the character, and quite frankly, since they're bringing back Redemption Island, he'll be a beast.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to the whole Redemption Island thing in just a second. Candace, why? Monica, why? Oh, wait, because of her friggin' husband who got more airtime on her original season than she did. Colton, hopefully being engaged to a guy now, hopefully, you know, would mature him a little bit, but again...
How does anyone get engaged to that?
After,
you watch that on national television, you're like, mm-hmm, I want me some of that.
Again, opportunity missed that it wasn't his black maid coming with him.
I tell you, that would have been the most amazing thing in the world. Or even if this guy was black, that would be hilarious.
But again, it's much more important that the only reason to bring him back, and this is why I even put him in my, you know, second chance cast, is we want him voted out. We don't want him to have the asterisk of a medevac. Kat and Hayden, we've talked about. Laura, for God's sake, Laura! The Sarah Palin devotee.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing she contributed to the game of Survivor was she was the one who led the charge to make sure that Russell didn't win Samoa because he had the audacity to find Isles and not get voted out.
Yay.
Literally, she actually said in post interviews that if he had just gotten voted out when we wanted to, we could have voted for him to win. I was like, that's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're bitter because you got beat by a superior player, and you're pissed about it. Just say that. But of course, but again, she's a Sarah Palin devotee, so she is not in touch with reality. So, anywho, Jervis, we had speculated like it was going to be like his oldest child coming, that it's going to be his niece. So,
mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's been so long. I'm actually excited to see him back. I thought he should have been in the original All Stars back in season 7. I was surprised he wasn't picked.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be glad to see him again. And then Tina and her daughter. I think Tina's going to get voted out.
You can't not like Tina.
I think Tina's going to get voted out early again because you know, she got voted out first in All Stars because she was a winner, but she's 52 now. And just...
She's 52, she'll be a physical liability, and frankly, if she gets past the physical liability stage, she becomes a winning liability problem.
I mean, she's the oldest person in the cast by 3 years. Rupert's 49. The thing is, she wasn't really that much of a challenge threat even in Australia. She acquitted herself well enough, but no one thought of her as like, you know, as an immunity threat all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I can't remember how well she did in the tribal phase. I think she was a solid contributor, but she was never like a standout. I mean, she's a convenient first off. She really is. And I will say this: the cast is skewed older because of the married couples,
which is a good thing. Don't be afraid of 30-somethings. Seriously.
Not even 30-somethings. Let me just go through the list again. Tina is 52. Jervis is 43. Laura's 43. Let's see. Monica's 42. Brad's 44. Rupert's 49. Laura's 44. That's 7 out of the 20 who are over 40. Not even talking about over 30. Over 40.
Which, again, fantastic. Life does not end.
And then you got, and then Tyson, his girlfriend Rachel, Aris and his brother Vitas. I'm guessing that's how it's pronounced.
Mm-hmm, both over 30.
All Candace and John are 30 themselves. So that's 6, 30 and over. So 7 over 40, 6, 30 and older, and then 7, 20s. That's a balanced cast. I will at least grant that.
It's a good mix, and frankly, Survivor's the one that has the excuse that it can go a little bit younger because you're asking people to deal with the elements, and it's a more physical game. I get that you can't skew as old as other shows like Big Brother technically could. Nothing better than seeing like a 70-year-old grandmother whoop people at Big Brother, but
it is a little bit disappointing that it took this idiotic concept to balance out the ages of the cast. I will say that though.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the Redemption more insidious Island. Things about this season, potentially.
Redemption Island is back.
Redemption Island's back.
Which,
why?
Again, it was a noble idea. It just so poorly executed that I don't think it can ever really work.
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea of saying once you're voted out, it's not over, you know?
Right.
I love the idea of a second chance, but honestly, And I know you always give me shit for this. As far as an idea, I liked the Outcast Tribe.
I actually wouldn't be in hate with the Outcast Tribe if people knew it was coming from the start.
Exactly. The blind side of it was foul play. But to say it's like, hey, you know, there's 20 of you. The first six are going to be a tribe. And if you win a 3-way challenge, two of you are coming back in the game. I love that. I don't know why that everybody completely shits on that as like the worst moment in the show's history.
They only shit on it because of the outcome. It's not because of the concept. It's because of what it resulted in.
Because it allowed Lil back into the game, I know.
Yeah, so let that be. Let's take it a step further. Will anyone in this game have the balls to cut their own loved one?
I'm going to guess no.
I agree with you in that. Frankly, is a problem of this season, functionally.
And here's the thing. They're promoing heavily as like who's going to have the balls to cut their loved one. And they show like Jervis and his niece and Colton and his fiance, who is not black. And then Rupert and his wife. And here's the thing. They're promoing who would cut them. But there's a twist with Redemption Island now that once they gather for the duels or truels, mm-hmm. or whatever, however many they're going to do, the loved one can swap out.
Yep.
So if Laura gets voted out first, I assume that they're going to be on separate tribes at least to start out with.
Yes.
So if Rupert shows up at Redemption Island and finds out that Laura has been the first one voted out, I'll lay dollars to donuts. He'll take her place.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, he never plays the game anyway. He's always been a social player and a character. He's never been a strategist, and he's been a challenge beast. Because he can go on an Aussie run on Redemption Island, and of course, being that he's probably the most noble player who has ever been on the show, at least for as long as the show's been on.
Mm-hmm.
In a heartbeat, he'll be the bigger man and take his wife's place.
Put
her back.
Let's talk about the sick part.
Even though it will not only put him on the brink of elimination, it'll also weaken his own tribe because again they'll initially be separate, I believe. Mm-hmm. So he'll actually take a spot away from his tribe and put his wife back on the other tribe just so he can be on Redemption Island for as long as it takes.
There's going to be so many functional problems and so many bad strategic moves because people will, you know, make decisions with their heart. It's like, oh, I'm just going to retch over the course of this season way too many times. I can see it coming.
I will say this, and I've said that a lot in this podcast. There are rumors circulating that next season will not, because it's already been filmed. There are some rumors circulating that next season will be all originals and it will be a kick-ass season.
Well, on that note, let's just skip this season and wait for next season.
This season we're paying penance. That's all we're doing.
Killing me. Any other random casting news here?
We have a partial cast for Dirty Ministers.
Does that show count anymore? That show's still on, seriously?
I've said that several times, but
okay, give me a reason to be excited.
Leah Remini.
Okay, that's good, but she's still supposed to be significant, not a fake star forced to a dancing competition.
But at least she's no longer a Scientologist, which makes her 10 times hotter.
Okay.
Valerie Harper, Rhoda, who is terminally ill with brain cancer, is going to be on the show.
So we're going to have our first on-air death next.
Very possible. For some ungodly reason, Snooki. Because situations appearance what just wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
Amber Riley.
Okay.
Get a little Mercedes in there.
That's an interesting choice. I'm surprised they left that, considering all of the Glee cred. Is she going to be off that series now?
Well, yeah, she's...
She officially left.
I'm sure they'll bring everybody back for the third episode of the season, which is when they're going to deal with Cory Monteith's death, but... Because like the first two episodes is going to be like a two-parter Beatles tribute, which I might actually watch, even though I've abandoned the show. But then episode three is where they'll deal with Finn's death and Cory Monteith and everything like that. So
okay, so you're giving me some different names, but you're not giving me a reason to necessarily be excited.
Yep.
I mean, excited, like so excited, like so scared.
Well, if you want to talk about scared, for some ungodly reason, Christina Milian.
Okay. Christina Milian's ready to dip it low.
Is she going to be splitting time with The Voice while she's doing this?
I have no clue.
Keyshawn Johnson.
Really?
This is where my network comes in. Because for the last week, because obviously the NFL season starts next week and there's been a lot of preseason stuff and we've been amping up our NFL coverage, Keyshawn's been around the office a lot. Mm-hmm. And he always sits behind the desk, so they only photograph him from the waist up. So he's wearing, you know, a suit, jacket, and tie.
Uh-oh, you're revealing secrets.
But he's not wearing... Oh, dear. If Deadspin picks this up, at least give me credit. He's not wearing pants. He's wearing his gym shorts.
No pants.
And then it becomes the pants-off dance-off because he has literally been... On three separate occasions, I've seen him, like, imaginary waltzing through the hallways of my employer in his suit jacket and shorts.
Fantastic.
Watching Keyshawn Johnson dancing around with no pants, among the utter experiences of my life. And
yes, I'm sure that brightens your day.
And speaking of dancing with no pants on, Elizabeth Berkley.
Finally gives me what I care about. Now I have a reason to watch.
And so, if you say because of Saved by the Bell, I will hit you.
Not a reason to watch Dancing with the Stars.
If you say you're watching her because of Saved by the Bell, I will hit you.
I think we all know why we're watching.
Honestly... I want there to be a poll week.
Do you think You Can't Dance hasn't added that? Like one of the styles, pole dancing.
I mean especially given...
Enough at this point?
Especially given the fact that Kariana Naba and Bruno Tonioli, they keep trying to make the show about sex appeal when they're given their scores, and you just cast the star of Showgirls, abandon the pretense.
Is there a chance that this could actually resurrect Elizabeth Berkley's career?
No. There's nothing that can resurrect her career.
Okay. So, right. Ladies and gentlemen, Dancing with the Stars is coming back. There's going to be a lot of people who, ironically, this time I might argue are kind of still stars, but
yeah.
I guess are using Dancing with the Stars as their exit point of significance.
Maybe.
Like, okay, I'm ready to go back to not having the paparazzi follow me around and just be a boring individual again. So I guess congratulations to them, but yeah.
Sure they'll reveal the full cast list soon.
One more
bit of news that's not really related to the cast, but of the wonderments of casting.
Mm-hmm.
Hell's Kitchen.
Ugh, crack is whack.
Crack is indeed whack. Now Gordon Ramsay finally went on record this year and said, yeah, half the cast is for drama and they can't actually cook and they're not going to win the game, but. He has restaurants in Las Vegas, and you and I go there at least once a year. And in fact, this podcast was born over a drunken day in Las Vegas.
Well, not so drunken. I mean, don't embarrass me in front of my mother, but yes.
I mean, we were sipping Long Islands through yard cups.
Yes, we get it. Uh-huh. A bunch of lushes and drunks. Yeah, okay, go.
But we've talked about it. Like, you know, we would love to, you know, watch a season of Hell's Kitchen, then go to one of Ramsay's restaurants and see the winner in action.
Yes.
Except that's not going to happen.
Because?
Janelle, with an apostrophe, because that's how people spell their names these days, failed Caesar's Palace's drug test.
Yes, she did.
tested positive for cocaine.
What, a black person failing a test? No, never.
Passed my AIDS test, got a 65. Oh. Yes, I'm going to make Chris Rock references, but failed a drug test, tested positive for cocaine.
But Ramsey says he's still going to stand by her.
I mean, she's still going to get her prize money, the $250,000, just like the girl a couple of seasons ago who was supposed to go to England, but England wouldn't give her a visa. It's like, she'll still get the prize money, but she won't get the job.
Yay.
Yay. I mean, Hell's Kitchen is the one guilty pleasure reality show I watch. I know it's a complete train wreck, but I still watch it just because I like watching Ramsay cuss.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I don't watch MasterChef, because he doesn't cuss enough. But at this point, should we just put that show to bed? You know, he's got so many other shows as it is. Let this one die. You've admitted that you basically have no real intention of finding a good chef in your casting process. That you care more about near fist fights more than anything else. And now your winner is a coke addict. It's like,
I mean, that's reality for you, folks. That's reality.
It's time. Let it die. I gotta say, let it die. It was nice having Jean-Philippe back for this season, though. That was like the one positive. But I was actually satisfied with Janelle as the winner. It's like she's like the most competent winner since One Arm Bandit Dave in season 5. But you gotta be kidding me with this crap.
I got no good answers for you or anyone out there in podcast land. All it comes down to is we need some new, fresh reality shows. And they keep on saying that these other shows fail. But I think a good portion of the truth is if you want people to pick onto a new show, you have to kind of take away the security blanket of the old show. They're so secure in the waning ratings of many of these programs that have been around since 2001, 2003, 2005, that because they hang on to them, they're failing to give other new shows a legit shot because people say, well, why do I want to watch that show if I can just go back and watch Hell's Kitchen? I know what I'm getting there. It's not always good to be safe, and I hope that someone learns this very, very soon. But, you know, hey, you decided not to be safe by choosing to listen to this podcast, and amazingly, we didn't violate the box nearly as often as we, frankly, would like to. So we'll do our best to do that more in the future for you because, you know, explicit is a fun word. And until then, you know, I'm Eric Pierce of Genshin Newsnet. That's Bill Hammond. And holy crap, we actually are cranking out some podcasts now. This reality rant is...
I do have to wonder if she was actually sprinkling salt into the risottos now.
No wonder Ramsay liked it so much.